Welcome to Film Forum's podcast. The following event was recorded on October 21st, live at our theaters located at 209 West Houston Street in Manhattan.
Sure, we're all thoroughly hungry now. Before you get your own ramen later tonight, we've got our very exciting Q&A coming up. Before we introduce Nobuko again, I'd like to introduce our wonderful moderator for the evening. We are very, very excited to have the principal film critic from The Village Voice here this evening, Bill Gabiri.
Hi, everybody can hear me like this? I want to introduce actually two people up here. The first is Yasushi Tamaoki, president of Itami Productions. And, of course, our guest of honor, Nobuko Miyamoto, the star of Tampopo and all of Juzo Itami's films. So what was it like seeing this film again after so many years?
なんか自分が出てることを忘れて、この担保30年ぶりに見ましたけれど、本当になんか可愛い作品だなって心から思いました。そして本当に皆さんが笑ってくださったり反応してくださって、
I watched this film almost forgetting that I was the one who was in the film, and I realized once again that it was such a charming film. And I was very delighted to be able to watch it, hearing the laughter of the audience and sort of the feeling that I had from you as we were all watching the film together. And I think it's something that I won't be able to forget.
The film was a big success in the U.S. and elsewhere in the West. Have you found that Western, and obviously you haven't seen the film in a while, but have you found that Western audiences respond to the film differently than Japanese audiences?
日本が日本で上映された時は本当に皆さんシーンってなっていて静かで、そしてこの映画っていうか、ザ・タンポポがわからないと、つまり筋がないので、サブの物語があると、どうしていいかわからなくなって混乱したというような意見が相当ございました。When
it was shown in Japan, the audience was absolutely silent. Quiet. And with all the sub-stories that come out during the showing, during the film, in addition to the main story, it was too confusing for them. They couldn't quite catch what the whole intent was.
And I think I want to follow up on that, and maybe Mr. Tamaoki can also address this. You know, Juzo Itami's films were very successful in Japan, but a couple of the others were more successful, I believe. So Japanese audiences did respond to his films as well, I believe, right?
イタミさんが監督になったのは51歳で、一番最初の映画が1984年のお葬式です。 で、その、お葬式が、公開された頃の日本映画っていうのは、もう本当に、 一番お客様が少ない時で、いかにして大人の人に映画を見てもらうかっていうことを、まあ、伊丹さんはそれからの14年間、頑張って、やりました。まあ、このタンポポはお葬式に続く2作目で、今宮本さんがおっしゃったようにちょっと日本ではその後のアメリカやヨーロッパでの人気に比べるとちょっとありましたけれど、でも伊丹さんが作った10本の映画の中でタンポポが一番好きだよっていう人は結構意外にいらっしゃるんですよね。だからそういう意味でやっぱりタンポポっていうのは伊丹十三にとってもすごく大事な映画だとそういうふうに思います。
Juzo Itami started making films when he was 51 years old, and his first film was The Funeral in 1984. That was a time when there was very few audience for films in Japan. The theaters were really struggling. The film industry was really struggling. And so for the next 14 years, he worked hard to make films that adults would be interested and eager to see in Japan. So Tanpopo was the second film that he made, and maybe compared to the reaction in the West and Western Europe and the U.S., it might have been a little less enthusiastic in Japan. But there are people in Japan who, of the 10 Itami films, say Tanpopo is their favorite as well. So I think people began to understand what the whole intent of the film was.
There's an enormous sense of freedom in the film. I mean, that's the thing that struck me again after watching it. I watched it earlier this week and now watched it tonight. I mean, quite aside from the main story of your character opening the noodle shop, there are these other vignettes and sketches really just varying in tone. I mean, some funny, some sexy, some sad, some all of these things at once, all about the different ways that we relate to food. How did Juzo Itami develop these scenes, I mean, these vignettes? Where did all these ideas come from, and was he ever tempted to cut some of these out?
彼は監督になる前はデザイナーだったりイラストを描いたり、それから文章を描いたりドキュメンタリー映画を作ったりいろんなことをして、それからもちろん俳優もして、そして最後に、映画監督という、彼は自分にとってこんな面白い職業を見つけて、これは楽しいんだよって、僕の本当に天職だよなんて言ってた時が、それがスタートなんですけど、その前のいろんなことをしていた時にドキュメンタリー映画のドキュメンタリー東京行きたいとかそういうものを作ってた時にいろんな人にインタビューしていろんな面白い話がいっぱいいっぱい持っていたんですね、引き出しの中に。でそれを全部この映画に投入したい。そしてラーメンがラーメンの主人公を縦軸にしてっていうようなことをずっとちょっと考えていて、ある日突然これはシェーンだと、シェーンが来てその女主人公を支えて立て直して去っていくということを見つけた時に、初めてサブストーリーとその真の縦糸が結びつけついたという、大変彼は非常にこの映画を作りたかったもんですから満足してたと思います。
Before he became a director, he was had various different aspects that he was involved in. He was a documentary maker. He was a writer. He was an illustrator. He was a designer. He was an actor. So when he finally came to the work of becoming a director, He said, this is so much fun. This is the job that's perfect for me. And he was really enjoying himself being a director. In all these other jobs that he had done before, he met many people that had such interesting stories. For example, one of the documentary series he worked on was I Want to Go Far Away. So he had all these vignettes and stories that he had accumulated in his file drawer, let's say, that he wanted to put into a film. And so then suddenly one day he decided, this is Shane. A retake on the story of the Western Shane. So Shane comes into town and helps Tampopo, helps the woman become independent and become a strong woman, and then he leaves. So that's the kind of vertical main story, vertical thread of the main story. And the horizontal threads are these vignettes that he wanted to put in from all these experiences he had had in his previous work.
それでそのサイドストーリーを落としたものっていうのは一つもないと思います。
I don't think he cut any of the side stories out.
Good for him. and in that structure, the film becomes more than just a love letter to food. It becomes a love letter to cinema, I feel. It brings all together all these elements and genres, not just the Western, but alsothe gangster movie, the French New Wave, and to what extent were Japanese audiences familiar with these kinds of references? I mean, I imagine, you know, gangster movies they were familiar with, but, when he says, you look like you're in a French film, I want to call you Jean, do they respond to that the way that we respond to it here?
これは食へのラブレター、だけじゃなく、シネマ全体へのラブレターだと思いま す, です、ねギャングモノとか、ヌーベルバーグとか、そういういろいろな要素が入っていて、日本の観客が、そういうものをパッと分かりましたか、
30年前はあんまり分からなかったんじゃないかと思いますけれども、一般的な映画とても好きな方はもちろん理解できたと思うんですけど、全体的に見ればダメだったと思うんですけど、今でしたらもう物手を挙げて皆さん分かると思います。その感覚とか彼の持ってるものが、彼はいつもせっかちで早すぎるんですきっと。
30 years ago, I don't think the general Japanese audience would get those references, except for the film lovers and film scholars in Japan. But now, I think many people would get those references. But Itami was ahead of his time. He was a little too hurried in the way he wanted to do things.He was a little too impatient, maybe, and made things earlier than they probably would have been received well.
I'm also struck by the very physical nature of your performance. You're constantly in motion throughout the movie, and very, a very vibrant presence throughout. And I would say this applies to your performances in his other films as well. I'm curious, how did he direct you personally? And also, what...Was he like as a director in general on set?
だいたい私の演じる役はじっとしていてお人形さんみたいな役っていうのはなくて、もちろん外見もそうですし。ですから大抵動き回ってる役で、セリフがすごく多い役が多いと思います。
I don't play characters that are sitting still like a doll, and I probably don't look like somebody who would be just a silent and sitting still. So I have a lot of action that I have to learn, and also a lot of lines that I have to learn for my dialogue.
だって一緒に生活していますから、もう私のありとあらゆるものを見てて分かると思ってますから、そうだからいつも 私は動いてるなとか、いつもなんだか面白いことしてるなとか、そういうような、例えば私が日常言ってることでも、今日なんか面白いことなかったっていうのが彼の口癖で、私が帰ると、そういうことも含めて、そう、二人の生活の中で自然なもんですから、考えたことがない。
So we were, of course, living together as a couple. We would always be talking about things that interested us. His phrase would always be, "Did something interesting happen today? What did you do today?" So he was very interested in the way I moved around, and he would observe, I think, that I was always moving around. And so I think it came naturally to have me act that way in the films as well.
Something I noticed, the closing image of this movie, which we just saw, it's the baby being breastfed. The film he made after this, A Taxing Woman, the opening image of that film is a man at a woman's breast. And I was wondering if that was a conscious echo of Tempo. This is a film critic question. But I was wondering if that was a conscious echo of Tampopo, or is it just pure coincidence?
これは映画評論家としての質問になってしまうんですけれど、
はい、
タンポポの、ラストが、その乳を飲んでる
赤
ちゃんです、
はい、
で、マルサの女の一番最初のシーンが、男の、
老人が
乳を飲んでるっていうので、それは意図的にそのラストと最初のシーンとつなげたんでしょうか。
それはどう思われますか。
What do you think?
So I read an interview with Juzo Itami from years ago where he said something interesting, and you know, he mentioned it in passing, but he talked about how in Japanese society, the way he read it was almost all the relations were between a mother and child. And this was when he was talking about sort of the lack of a certain paternal presence in Japanese society. And this was not what I was thinking when I asked this question. But as I was asking this question, I was wondering, oh, maybe this has something to do with that. But it would require further study for me to make a great claim.
そうですね、
あまりその男っていうか父っていうのが強く出てないということで、でまあそういう面がこの今思いついたんですけれど、その2つをつなげるものになっているのかもしれません。
もしかするとそうかもしれません。
That might be right.
I want to ask one more question, and then I want to open it up to the audience. And maybe you can both answer this question. Tell me about the museum dedicated to Itami that you have. What's it called?
Itami さんが監督になってからすぐの頃に、Itami さんの13歳の時に亡くなったお父さんは Itami 万作というすごい素晴らしい映画監督、脚本も書いた人だったんですけれども、その方は私が今住んでいる日本の四国の松山っていうところで、生まれ育った人、伊丹さんも お父さんが亡くなった後事情があって、4年間、高校時代、松山というところで、過ごしました。そこに、お父さんのまず記念館を建てようという話がありました。
Soon after Juzo Itami became a director, there was talk of building a memorial museum for his father, who was Mansaku Itami, a very well-famous screenwriter and director in Japan. When he was 13 years old, his father passed away, and Juzo Itami spent about 4 years in Matsuyama in Shikoku, where
I'm from, when he was in high school. So that was the initial point of making a museum to honor his father.
でも伊丹さんはさっき話したように14年間の間に10本の映画を作ったってことはもうほとんど毎年作ってたので、その記念館の方は手がつかないまま1997年に亡くなってしまいました。
And during the 14 years that Juzo Itami made 10 films, he was making one film a year practically, so he wasn't able to work on establishing a museum, and then he passed away in 1997.
そして伊丹さんが監督で10本作ったのは資料は全部やはりいつかはそのお父さんの記念館に一緒に収蔵しようとして全部きっちりと残してました。でも、まあ、急な死を迎えたもんですから宮本さんもすぐに記念館をっていうことにはならないで、10年間かかりましたけど伊丹さんが亡くなってちょうど10年後の2007年5月15日伊丹さんの誕生日なんですけれどもその日に伊丹十三記念館としてオープンして今ちょうど来年の5月15日で10年を迎えることになります。
So the materials and archival materials that are available for the 10 films that Juzo Itami made and of course the archival materials of his father were able to be put into a museum. Unfortunately, with the sudden death of Juzo Itami, it was difficult to move on this kind of museum concept right away. So finally, 10 years later, in 2007, May 15th, which is Itami's birthday, we opened the museum. And so next year, on May 15th, it will be the 10th anniversary of the museum.
でそこの館長は宮本信子さんで、まあ、宮本さんはでも東京にいますから、その記念館は私の会社の敷地の中にあるので私は館長代行としてやってます。あとは宮本館長に喋ってもらったらと。
So, the director of the museum is Nobuko Miyamoto, but she's mostly in Tokyo, and the museum is actually on the land that my company owns, so I'm the acting director most of the time.
館長として記念館の受付に立ってお客様をお迎えします。伊丹映画のファンの方、それから外国からのお客様もいらっしゃいます。
So when I am able to, I go to the museum and welcome people as they come into the museum as the director of the museum. So various Itami film fans from Japan and abroad come to visit the museum.
で、その時に一番今お客様におっしゃられることは、今伊丹さんがもし生きていたら、日本で起きているいろんな出来事がありますけれども、どういう映画を作ってくれるんでしょうかと。それが見られないのがすごく残念だっていうご意見をたくさんいただきます。それが一つ。それから小さな子どもたちが夏休みや春休みの宿題に伊丹十三の研究テーマを取り上げてくれる。こんな嬉しいことはない。続きますからね、いろいろ。そのことを今、とても楽しみに、喜びに思っております。
What I hear from these visitors quite often is that if Itami were alive now, with all the various issues that are being raised in Japan and various political things, etc., societal issues, what kind of movies would he be making if he were still making films? And they feel very saddened that he is not there to be able to make the films. The other thing that really delights me at the museum is that children come during spring break or summer break to do a little spring or summer vacation homework to study up on Itami. And so there's a sense that the next generation will be able to know about Itami as well through this museum.
それで最後にそこのカフェの名前がタンポカフェタンポポっていう名前だし、あと中庭にタンポポを植えてます。そして、カフェではですね、シャンパンも出してますけれど、日本酒も出してますけど、ビールはハイネッケンです。
So there's a cafe at the museum and the name of the cafe is Tampopo. There's also dandelions growing in the inner courtyard. And we, of course, serve champagne, which Itami loved, and some sake as well. But the beer that we serve is Heineken.
あの、私はタンポポが大好きなんです。そのことを Itami Jūzō はよく知っています、もちろん。そのタンポポっていう花はなぜ好きかっていうと、あの、地面に本当に根を張って、踏まれても何しても絶対立ち上がってくる。そういう、もう小さな黄色い花です。その花が私が大好きなので、ぜひあのタンポポっていうのを、まあ、あのつけてカフェにもつけましたし、その映画のタイトルロゴにもなりましたし、あのそういうことを今日ね映画を見ていろいろ思い出しました。
Dandelions, tampopo, are flowers that I love very much. And the reason is that they spread their roots very strongly, and even if they're stepped on, stomped on, they will rise again. And the small yellow flowers, I think, are delightful, and I love those. So, of course, Itami knew that I loved dandelions, so that's one of the reasons that this whole film is called Tampopo, and the character is called Tampopo.
So I think we have time for some questions from the audience. Right there.
Thank you. So I have a comment, and then I'll end it with a question. Back in 1987... when A Taxing Woman came out, Mr. Itami and yourself came to UCLA to do a question and answer after the film, much like this one. And that was always just a special evening. I remember, I'm pretty sure Mr. Itami was dressed all in black. And you're just as charming now as you were back then. I wanted to say that. And this is... one of my favorite films, and I've always noticed the music, which is really incredible and much of a throwback, and I wondered if you could talk a little about the composer and what you might know about the musical choices.
すごく嬉しいですけ
ど、私の好きな映画の一つなんですけれども、
ありがとうございます。音楽はほとんど伊丹さんが選んでると思います。あの音楽の方もいらしたんですけど、その絵に合わせてどういう音楽を持ってるかっていうの、あの持ってくるかっていうことは、彼もすごく音楽クラシックなんかすごく好きで、あのよく分かっているので、随分うちでも絵に合わせていろいろやっている姿を思い出しています。
Even though there was a person in charge of the music for the film, I think Itami was the one who chose most of the main films, especially the classical music that's part of the soundtrack for this film. And I recall him choosing classical music at home and listening to a lot of classical music and seeing if they fit the scenes.
I think a lot of the classical music is Mahler, I believe. Yeah, and I'm going to blank on the title of the actual piece, but it's also the music from Death in Venice, if you've seen that film.
There is a documentary called The Making of Tampopo, and so that talks a lot about the music selections.
Any others?
あの子供が出てきますけど、 あれは本当の子供です私たちの2番目の万平君、万平なんですけど、父ちゃん、あ、じゃあ、なんだっけ、何の名前は、あ、彼の名前、ターボーは私たちの息子なんです、2番目の。
There's my child in the film is my real child, my second son, and so Tabo was Manpe, our second son that is in the film. In 2 weeks, he'll be 41 years old.
Oh, wow.
Any other questions? Or? Oh, okay. I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Film Forum's podcast. Visit us online at filmforum.org, where you can learn more about our films, memberships, subscribe to our free weekly e-newsletter, and to find out the ways you can support our nonprofit cinema. And if you have the time, please visit our iTunes page and leave a rating and review of our podcasts. Copyright to this program belongs to The Moving Image Incorporated.